I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Our patrons get a little lonely sometimes, but you can change that. Sign up today at patreon.com/TMS and be cool, like Clever Pun, Matuba, and C.N. Rowlands. Coming up on the morning stream, Diddy Diddler Dollar Tree.
Watery Willy.
Spice Girls Spice Weasel.
Kids with Sledgehammers.
Futurama Fauna.
Poplar's Not Popular.
It's April Fool's, unfortunately.
Godzilla Math Problem.
Prudish Pyramid.
I mix the sausage in with the biscuits, if you know what I mean.
Baku Baku.
TMS, not biblically accurate.
Those saucy Koreans.
The Square Root of Kong.
They might be cunning linguists.
The Fairly Interesting X-Men with Steven. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No!
Here's your cubicle. This is where you sit and work.
Do the bees know they make honey for you? This is the morning stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's the morning stream for April 1st, 2024, unfortunately. I'm Scott Johnson, and that's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Yes, welcome to the day. Well, one of the days we just stay off the internet.
Yeah, I hate it. But the main reason I hate it is it's kind of pointless now. Every day is April Fool's Day on the social internet. So what's today even do? It's just like makes it just slightly worse. But
it does.
Every day is full of lies and AI images and bullshit. I guess today people smirk about it a little bit more. But
I guess so. They do it willingly and knowingly.
Yeah.
Hey, Alkabob, if you're still listening, it keeps bumping both players now out of half asses.
I keep getting kicked out. It's weird. I don't know why. If I refresh that link, it just goes, hey, you're not allowed in here. Oh, now let me back in, but.
Yeah, it's strange.
I don't know why it's kicking me. We've had some technical issues this morning. It's a real April Fool's kind of morning.
It really is. But, you know, I really miss ThinkGeek. ThinkGeek used to be one of those, and Blizzard. Those used to be the two sites that I used to really like going to on April Fool's Day because they got it. They knew how to make things that, A, were obviously jokes, and they kept it to that, and that was it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I like that too. And also, it was a good contrast because the rest of the internet wasn't so freaking weird, and so they could do it, and they would stand out, and you would want to see them. Now, for all I know, Blizzard still does it, but I just avoid it all. I can't do it.
I know.
I can't even look at it. So there
Ziggy's
you have it.
Coffee, you know, sent me the email. We're now introducing dill pickle flavors. I was like, all right, hats on hats. You're kind of going, you know, make it so that you go for a second. You're like, oh, really? But no, they're doing hats on hats, as Jenny Josephson would say.
Yeah, and they're not funny. They're just annoying.
Funny. It's not funny.
I mean, there are two things on April Fool's Day that are annoying: April Fool's Day jokes, and then people like us complaining about it, which I do. I'll do it all day. I'll do it all day. I'm here all day. So,
curmudgeonly effers like you and me.
Yeah, we've been burned, man. We've been doing this a long time. We've seen everything. Yeah. It's time for us to enter a new phase and never have this stupid holiday. It's not even a holiday. It's just stupid. It's just dumb.
It's stupid.
You know what is a fun holiday, or can be anyway? Easter.
Yeah.
I recommend having little kids around, because then you do the eggs and all that.
Yeah.
So we did that. So we hid eggs everywhere.
Little kids. What if you don't? If you don't have them, is there a place you can buy them?
No, unfortunately, no.
Pick them up out in front of the Home Depot or the Kinder Care or something like that.
Unfortunately, all those methods are a little bit frowned on, so they don't like that. involves a little bit of clandestine work. But if you've got some within your purview, bring them in, have them do the egg hunt, little chocolate business. You know, they're great. And then food's good. Kim made ham. She made these. Hey, what do you call, you know, the hot pot when you get the slabs of very thinly sliced meat?
Oh, yeah.
What's that called? It's like baku or
shabu shabu.
Shabu shabu. That's it.
Shabu shabu. Yeah. Kim, so she did like a hot pot where people were cooking their own little deal?
No. So she bought a bunch of the shabu shabu meat.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But then cooked it all up like regular and then made this it was great. She had this big, huge, crazy layered salad and all this other stuff. So everybody came over, we all hung out, it was great. We had a very fine time. It was, you know, mostly because, you know, there's a 5-year-old running around going, "I found another egg."
Nice. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And that's what holiday's for.
We just had Tina's mom and my mom over, and then Tristan's girlfriend Kay and her and their other two roommates. Tristan had to work, had to be at the Meow Wolf yesterday for Easter, helping people who had friends and family in town for the holiday. Have one thing to occupy and fill their time. So unfortunately,
sure.
Tristan, we had the rest of the family. None of them young enough that they'd appreciate a good Easter egg hunt.
No. But, you grow out of it. And then what do? You just eat the chocolate and you forget about the eggs. Yeah, it's fine.
But we have the same similar thing. The ham, deviled eggs, the scalloped potatoes. My mom made some mixed the sausage in with the biscuits, made these little sausagey biscuit rounds and then some zucchini bread to go with them. Is really, really good.
Did you remember to leave Fig Newtons out for Jesus to come in the morning?
Is that the deal? That you leave a glass of Manischewitz and some Fig Newtons? I don't know how any of that stuff works. Like, what do you leave out? What are you supposed to leave out?
I don't know. I don't
under
know if
the
it'd
Easter
be,
tree. Yeah,
be like a little bit of wine, a little bit of bread.
Yeah.
Then he walks in, makes 5,000. No, you leave a little fish, and then he'll feed 5,000 fish with the one fish.
Oh, yeah. Or you leave some water out, and he'll turn it into wine for you.
Yeah. So you do, that's right. Water to wine, not the other way around.
That's right. That's right. For my next trick. Yeah.
You want to impress me, take a little wine and make a ton of water out of it. That's what I want to see happen.
I do that every time I open a bottle. Hey-o! Yeah.
Icor says, that's not how the fish thing works. No, you're right. It's not. We're not biblically accurate here, but there you have it.
You mentioned the shabu shabu hot pot stuff. We went to Mrs. Crazy Neighbor's currently out of town, so we took Mr. Crazy Neighbor to Daeji, which is, I think, a chain of Korean barbecue places where you've got the barbecue, the grill right in the middle of the table, and you cook your own stuff.
Sure.
And it was an all-you-can-eat, and boy, we basically got the first full plate of meat and sides and vegetables. And Tina are like, "Oh my God, all right, we're getting full." And then Crazy Neighbor says, "Can we get another plate?" And the lady says, "Yeah, you know, I charge you if there's stuff left over." He's like, "That won't be a problem."
You know, if I've ever heard in my head Dave say a thing out loud after you said it, it was then. I can absolutely hear him saying that.
Yes, and we're pounding down we each got a bottle of soju. Well, Tina didn't, but Dave and I each got a bottle of soju, and we're each enjoying that. Oh my gosh.
Is soju it's alcoholic, obviously.
Korean alcohol. It is a 13% by volume alcohol. But it's a bottle about yay big. About the size of a Mexican Coke.
And you get your own 24
ounce. You
get
your own. You can. Yeah. You know, you're supposed to drink it like sake out of a little tiny, little tiny glass.
Yeah. Well, those Koreans, man, they like to get sauced.
Yeah, they do. Sauced.
Everybody.
I think Alkabob is restarting the server. So Travis and Scott, you'll need to, Travis Scott, you guys will need to, reload here in a second.
I'll definitely have to get in again because it says I'm out.
It bumped you out again.
Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and hit play. All right, I'm in. Hopefully it works.
In. All right.
Keeping an eye on this, everybody. It's like a new. We're doing a regular newscast, but we have to keep our eye on this story, which is will Alkabob fix the thing before we play?
Alkabob restarted the server, so I think let's hope that works. We'll see if. Now it's saying attempting to reconnect to the server. So I think Alkabob is currently resetting. All right. Well, let's talk about the next thing, and we'll come back to this.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's talk about Diddy Diddler Dollar Tree. And you might say to yourself, "What is that, Scott?" Well, let me tell you. On Twitter, I noticed one day, a couple days ago, there was a trending, you know, there's trending topics on Twitter.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I'll glance over there. I don't like to go there, but I like the order. I like to see if there's like a pattern.
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to, there's this whole thing with Diddy, Sean Combs and his whole thing and whatever. Don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
But they had three in a row trending topics. Diddy, Diddler, which is what they're calling him now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know what that... Okay, that's actually hilarious.
Yeah.
Diddler.
Yeah, P. Diddler. So you got Diddy, you got Diddler, and then Dollar Tree. All three of these D words right in a row, and I just thought it was fun to say. So I posted something like, this is actually really fun to say, and I posted a screenshot of it. Diddy, Diddler, Dollar Tree. Posted it, walked away, never thought about it again. Yeah. Then Lucario the Rogue, one of our listeners wrote it, or sent me a message and said, hey... I couldn't help it. I made a song about your thing. And I said, I thought, oh, he made a song. And turns out there's a website called Sono or something that is AI music generation thing.
Oh, okay.
So you in there and you say, I want upbeat pop with a female vocalist. And it's about this subject. And you put in whatever. And it will make a song for you.
Yeah.
Well, this is too good not to play. So we're going to play it here. All right.
Let's hear it.
And what's great about this is there's no copyright infringement. Because AI made it, so nobody has
the song list. Original tune.
Yeah, although I'm sure it stole from people to make the thing, but whatever. Here it is.
Every penny counts, gotta make it last. Tightening my belt, gotta make it fast. Diddy, a dealer Dollar Tree, my saving grace. Finding bargains, I'm on a winning race. Diddy, a dealer Dollar Tree, I'm catching that deal. Saving my cash, keeping it real. Dollar Tree, oh, how you set me free. Saving money is my shopping spree.
Okay, now you'll notice this song is very Dollar Tree centric.
It is. I'm almost bummed that it didn't, AI didn't lean into the diddler.
No. Yeah, I'm really glad it chose. I'm glad it chose what it chose just because it could have gotten real dark. But Okay, two takeaways though from this.
Yeah.
This is actually kind of catchy and pretty good.
It is.
And I don't know if that tells me what that says about the current pop market.
I think somebody just put Demi Lovato out of business.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah, that's true. Also, the girl's got kind of a. When you tell me it's AI, I can kind of hear it, right?
Yeah, you hear a little bit of the little auto tune-y weirdness.
Yeah, but it's interesting at the very least. And it is. I don't know. I thought I'd play it. But thank you for that, Lucario, for making my entire day with the hot new single. Check it out. Wherever you get your music, look for Diddy Diddler Dollar Tree coming at you. The hot single of 2024.
This will be our Indie in the Middle today. We're going to hear the entire song.
Yep.
And then later on in the show, you're going to hear the Green Day cover of Diddy Diddler Dollar Tree.
Oh, man. I've been waiting for that for a long time. Almost the last 30 seconds or so, I've been waiting for those guys. Anyway, that was great, and it made my day. Brian, you're going to see a movie after we're done here today. Tell us all about it.
Right after the show. Like, basically, once we put this show to bed, I'm hopping in the car and seeing a noontime showing of Godzilla Times Kong, following the great last Godzilla math problem, Godzilla minus one. Now we're working our way through. I can't wait for Godzilla Divides Japan.
Yep. Or, I love it. More math, please, Godzilla series. Let's do it.
The Godzilla squared plus Kong squared equals Rodan squared or something like that.
Yeah. Mothma...
Again, the square root of Kong plus is equal to the three sides of Mothra.
So this is the one with the little baby Kong in it. And the big evil, there's like an evil Kong deal going on and down into the earth or whatever. Look, I'm all for these. I have no problem with these. Mm-hmm. Bring them out, make them dumb as possible, have lots of great effects and incredible fights. Like you can have your Godzilla minus ones that are a little more of a serious, like, here we
highbrow.
Go.
Yep.
Yeah. You can do that. Keep doing those, but then keep putting out this shit too. Cause I like this stuff.
Totally. Totally. And I had to watch the recap video cause I loved the Monarch TV show on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
That gave us a lot of the background lore. Like, it basically was the connective tissue between Goodman's character in, what did we talk about? Monster Island or Skull Island or Skull whatever Island, it was with the, and like, you know, you've got the one with Millie Bobby Brown. You've got like all of these movies. It's like, oh, I forgot that a couple of these were even part of this connection, connective thing. So, I'm all in. I've been following. I'm both feet in the Godzilla verse.
Yeah,
so,
it's the GCU. It's the Godzilla Cinematic Universe. Is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't forget, Bryan Cranston is in that universe. That's right. He was in that episode, or the one with Millie Bobby Brown.
Millie Bobby Brown. Or Dr. Calhoun says it has very little to do with the Monarch TV show, and none of the characters from the TV show are in it. I'd argue that I think Godzilla is in it based on the title.
There's one very important character.
One very prominent character that I believe is in both, and his name is Godzilla.
Yeah. Yep. Or Zira, depending on where you're from.
Gozira, sure.
Yeah.
Gozira.
That's great. You'll have to give us a review tomorrow and tell us how it was.
Yeah. I'm expecting dumb, silly popcorn fun. That might be my lunch. I might just have popcorn for lunch. We'll see.
Just you going, or Tina, or what? Just you?
No, me and Uncle George and my niece, Rainey. Rainey.
Nice. Nice.
We call it Rainy for short. Yeah.
It is a bank holiday, I understand, right? Isn't that what happens on the Monday after?
It is a bank holiday. Yeah, I guess that's why. I think she sets her own hours, so she's off anyway. Mm. And I don't know the deal. I guess George is off because it is a bank holiday. I'm not sure. I don't think his job. Yeah, I don't know.
We forget. I'll find out. We forget as content creators what holidays are what, because we don't take any of them off.
We really do, exactly.
Yeah. Christmas. So. Okay, sure, we'll take that off. What else? We'll take Thanksgiving off.
Take it, exactly. Just don't tell any of my freelance clients that I'm going and seeing a movie in the middle of the day. Yeah. Don't tell them.
No, I'm glad. Well, the good news is this isn't public at all. This isn't out on the internet or anything, so they'll never know.
Exactly. Yeah, it should be fine.
Everything will be great. Well, that's great. We look forward to your review tomorrow. In the meantime, Brian Dunaway, speaking of bank holidays, is off today and off doing some fun stuff with the family. He will not be here. So instead, we're going to play Half Asses with a familiar voice. TV's Travis will be joining us shortly.
Yay!
Let's see if I can add him to the call. Looks like everything's worked out on the play thing.
It is, yeah. The thanks, Alcobob. Reset everything, so we are good to go.
Good news. Let's play some half-asses, give away some prizes, and welcome our good friend TV's Travis to the program. Hi, Travis Crawford. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine.
Hi, TVs. How are you?
Hi, TVs. Your first name is TVs, is my understanding.
Yes.
TVs, they're crazy.
It's good to have you, man. Thanks for stepping in. How was your holiday, your little Easter business?
Oh, it was fine. It was a pretty quiet holiday overall. I just got back last week from Adepticon in Chicago, which is like tabletop war games like Warhammer and stuff like that. So. Yeah. It was nice to have a quiet weekend coming back from that.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Sure.
Do they have
that photo of you right in front of the giant Warhammer statue? That was pretty cool.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, that thing was awesome.
I missed right it. Where'd you the Discord or something? I missed it entirely.
I posted on all of my socials, so I don't think I put it in Discord, but it's out there.
I'm gonna go find it.
I have a bunch more. I have a bunch more photos to put up because I was hanging out with Amy Frost and JF Dubow, and they brought their. They bring their army every year and do the team tournament. And they were actually featured on the Warhammer Twitch stream this year.
One of the featured
matches.
Nice.
So
there's this place over by us called, it's just called Warhammer. I don't think it's affiliated though with Games Workshop. Maybe it is. But it's a store where, like you would think, you go in there and you can, you know, paint your minis and they have regular tournaments and all that kind of stuff. It's just like this nerdy little... you know, tabletop place, but it's focused mostly on Warhammer 40K and Warhammer Fantasy. And they, the place opened right before the pandemic. And I went, oh man, that's not good. They're not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy is they are still kicking ass.
Oh, good.
Didn't go anywhere. And there are two or three stores around them that have all come and gone like twice that do different, you know, other things. They've all just come, shut down, opened up somebody new, and yet they're still there doing their Warhammer. I think that's great. So that congratulations, nerds. We did it.
Kept it open.
That's right.
There was an actual Games Workshop store in the mall that opened up near us when it first opened back in, 2010, 2012, somewhere around there. And that thing was one of the first places to go, unfortunately. Yeah. One of the first shops.
Yeah, that's a bummer because, and that's what I thought, because I was like, well, that's, you know, everyone's in there physically. You're all breathing on each other. There's no way this is going to last. And somehow they pulled it out. I don't know how.
It's too bad. There is a place that just opened up that I need to go to called Thane's Table. And it's maybe at 10 minutes away from me. And it's one of these places that it looks like the interior is done up like a pub, like a tavern in an MMO.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring your own games, or they have games, but they also have a bar and they have pizza, like flatbread pizzas and stuff like that. I need to need to go check it out.
That sounds magical. I love a place like that.
Yeah.
If you do, you'll report back here on TMS.
Pictures all over the place. And maybe we make it a Denver Tadpole meetup. We haven't done one of those in forever. We need to do a new one of those.
It's time. All right. Well, it's also time for us to play a game. Brian, explain these rules and what Travis and I are playing for.
Okay. Welcome to the morning. Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you guys the answers. I'll give Scott and Travis a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three of which, like Discord today.
Yep,
are incorrect. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if you get any of those guesses wrong, you get 0 points for that round. One right gets you a point, two right gets you 3 points, and 3 points, and three of them right gets you 5 points total. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And I've pulled contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Becky Grieve in Dutton, Ontario.
Woo! Canada.
Up in the Great White North. Mm-hmm. Travis, you're playing for a familiar voice around here that we know she's not able to be here live very often, but we miss her tremendously. Cleo in Kansas City. You're going to be playing for Cleo to win some prizes.
Great. Nice. Yeah. She deserves prizes. That's great.
She does deserve prizes. She deserves points is what she deserves, because that's what she used to give everybody here. We'll talk about what those games are in a minute. Let's get to the game while things are working. Big thanks this week to Nick Yates. Nick actually wrote all three of these questions that we're using today and provided me the questions and the answers. You kind of have to do that with me. So if you hate these questions, then you can tell him. Let's start with words used in They Might Be Giants songs.
Oh,
so words that They Might Be Giants, they're very well-read, well-spoken fellows, the two Johns. These are words that you might find in a They Might Be Giants song. Obsequious, antediluvian, canuculosis, craniosophic, spaghetti, I can pronounce that one, and pharologist.
Good Lord.
Which three of these were used in They Might Be Giants songs?
And these are all actual words, or can you say?
They are all actual words, and I could probably tell you what any of them mean if you want me to without giving anything away.
I don't need any definitions. I hope one day to be used antediluvian. That's fun.
Antediluvian?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what that means once we're done here. All right, you guys are both locked in, and you both set on obsequious, which actually is, it's from Turn Around. He had the same obsequious manner that was the reason that I had him killed. Yep. So very good.
That felt like one.
Yep. Antediluvian means before the flood, but you won't find it on their album, The Flood, or Flood, or before or after it.
So I'm trying to think, hold on. What's the use case for antediluvian then? Are you like...
Before the flood, that biblical character was antediluvian.
That's not bad. Okay. I see. Yeah. So it's not like it's raining really hard today, which it is. I don't go outside and yell, antediluvian, as if it's like...
Right now we're in the antediluvian times.
Oh, wow. All right. I won't do that then.
Yeah.
I mean, you should, though.
You should. You absolutely should. Yes. Is that what AD?
No, AD is after
Anno Domini. That's yeah. Latin.
Yeah.
Let's see. Caniculosis means it's Latin for full of rabbits. They did not use that in the song. Craniosophic or sophic is someone who is craniosophic. The brain went the opposite way. I don't have to explain spaghetti. And phorologist is one who studies or is interested in lighthouses.
Yeah.
Shit.
So you'd think, but it's not.
Oh, it's not.
Your answers were obsequious, craniosophic, and spaghetti.
Damn it. Damn.
Over there. I know. Right, if go. I would have just not done the one, I would have felt. Would have been
so it is the way, you know, you always think about, like, oh, if I just would have chosen this one.
And, mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll do better with Futurama. You guys are both familiar with the Futurama.
Yeah.
Which of these of are fauna found in Futurama? Your choices are the albino shouting gorilla, the complicated chicken, spice weasel, Republican bees, quantum weather butterfly, and windy shrimp. Which Ooh. Three of these are actual fauna found in actual Futurama?
Futurama fauna.
I know one 100%. Beyond that, I am, I'm very not sure. So now it's, do I go, it's kind of a no guts, no glory situation.
Kind of is, yeah.
Shit.
Would Cleo wants you to go for it, Travis, is the question. Would she want you? You're playing for her, really.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think so. I'm going to, you know what? Here we go. I'm going to hedge my bets a little. I'll lock in there.
I'm only doing one because I only know one.
All right. The one you both knew 100% was spice weasel, which was used by Chef Elzar to knock food up a notch.
That's right. Bam.
Bam. Bam, he'd always say.
That's right. The albino shouting gorilla was created by Professor Farnsworth to declare his love for mom. And the windy shrimp was a tiny animal with a powerful breath, saved from extinction until Nibbler ate it. Those three are your real answer. So Scott does get a point for Spice Weasel. The other three, by the way, are all found in Discworld. So Red Fraggle out there shouting, those other three were from Discworld.
But Republican bees are in. That's an amazing one, Republican bees.
Yeah.
Well, now I need to stop putting off reading that series. Good Lord, that's great.
Let's explain why they all sounded so familiar, too.
Oh, you've read them? Have you read those books, too?
I've read some Discworld, yeah.
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 Okay.
I love those books.
I need to get in. I need to do it. I know I need to. I've still got two books I've started to finish. Let's get to question number three, and maybe toys are going to be more up your alley. According to the Strong National Museum of Play, which has been around since 1998, which of these are inductees in the National Toy Hall of Fame? Lawn sprinkler, cardboard box, rock, blanket, couch, and stick.
Oh boy.
Three of these have been inducted into the National Toy Hall of Fame.
I think I mean literally have used all of these as a kid, as a toy.
As a toy, for sure.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of great.
Some in combination. Blanket, cardboard box, couch to create a fort.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We make fort. All right. I did two.
All right. Oh my gosh.
You got to go for it, man. You got to go at least two, right? Or no.
All right. I got it. Here we go. Locked in three.
All right.
Okay. Stick. You guys both got stick. Stick is correct. It was inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame in 2008. Cardboard box in 2005 was inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame.
That took a while.
And then I watched as TV's Travis added lawn sprinkler, which is not in the Toy Hall of Fame. I saw, it's like, oh man, if he just sticks with those two, he's got this, but that's all right. The other one is a blanket. Not just Michael Jackson's child, but also inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame in 2011.
2011. Oh, wow.
It's the most recent inductee of all of these that we're looking at.
Oh, it's been a while then. What's the holdup? There's got to be some other kind of toy since then that everybody
still
loves.
Still no rock, scissors, or paper in the Toy Hall of Fame.
Oh, they should put them all in at once. Big fight. I mean, breakout.
Let's be real, though. Lawn sprinkler is much more deserving than a blanket.
Oh, for sure. Because you could run through it and you get it, and you give your kid a shower. You know, your kid who hates taking a bath, right there.
I loved it. Remember the water weasel? Do you guys have one of them?
Oh, we didn't have a water weasel. We had the, was it Willy? Watery Willy or some wet Willy? No, it was a wet Willy.
Watery Willy. I like Watery Willy.
Watery Willy.
If that's not a show title, we're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Water, but it was, basically it looked like one of those current inflatable things in front of used car shops, but it was full of water.
That's what I was thinking this thing was called.
Willy Waterbug? Was that it, Tom Norm? Yeah, Willy Waterbug. Okay.
Oh, okay. Boy, there's a lot of these. I just did a search, and there were a ton of these knockoffs. The weasel ball. That wasn't water, though. That was just a weasel on a ball. Man. Yeah, to being a kid. And no lawn darts on there? They're not on
No, that's what I was just about to ask about jarts and lawn darts.
Yeah, as far as I know, no jarts or lawn darts on the list.
I had lawn darts before they banned them, and I should have kept them. That would be a cool thing to have today. Do you think eBay?
And
I'm going to go see if eBay has lawn darts.
See if eBay has jarts.
I'm
sure they're there. And I had a fairly good sized backyard in my house, so those got a lot of use.
Nice.
Thankfully, never put them into the house.
Yeah,
close a couple times. But
they redid them with a Nerf at one point. The jarts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the vintage 90s.
Like a Velcro target with like a, you know, Velcro on the bottom.
That's basically it. They redid the whole thing, but now they're just Velcro stuck or whatever. Or they have the ones that have the spread out base, so it's not pokey.
Yeah.
But the original, the originals aren't even that expensive. You can buy these for like $10 or whatever.
Oh, it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I thought, OSHA compliant
wipe,
long
wipe the blood off and they're totally reusable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't impale your best friend with those things. Anyway, well, that's fantastic. Right. Well, that means people won prizes today.
That's right. Becky Grieve, congratulations. You've got a copy of Citizen Sleeper and Black Skylands that are going to be coming to you. But Cleo, you're also getting something yourself. You're not going away empty-handed. You're getting a copy of Saints Row, which of the three games, that's the only one I've actually heard of. So the fact that one's a solo prize might make it the best game. I don't know.
Actually, of all these, Citizen Sleeper is probably your killer app. That one's an awesome.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Very, very good game. Nice. It's weird.
But none of these shake a stick at. They're all shake a non-Toy Hall of Fame stick at.
Yeah, they're all good.
That one is in the Toy Hall of Fame. But anyway,
that's right. I just bought Black Skylands on sale for like $8. Very good game also.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You'll be happy no matter where you end up today in our prizes. But also a huge thanks to TV's Travis for hanging with us, man.
Thanks for having me.
Probably see you in let's see, when do we have you next? Couple weeks, right?
Pretty soon.
Soonish. Oh, next not tomorrow, but the following Tuesday we'll have Travis on for his segment. Cool. So watch for that, everybody.
Cool.
Yeah. Travis, have a good one. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
Hey, Travis.
All right, that went well. Congratulations to our winners.
And thank you, Alkabob, for your quick tech support on the server there.
It's going to be hard for me to picture. I don't know why. I just can't picture Cleo playing
Saints Row.
The original Saints Row. Is this the new Saints Row, do we know, or the old original?
Maybe Steve will play it. I don't know. I have no idea which Saints Row it is.
Well, that'll be fun because you can put that in and then it'll be a big guess whether you get it or not. Because there's a brand, well, not brand new. It came out in 2021 or something.
And they didn't call it something different like Saints Row Deluxe Edition or something.
No, they rebooted it. They basically rebooted the whole series, and then the parent company shut them down. So it doesn't. That'll be the end of that. You'll never get another Saints Row game, at least not in the near future.
Wow.
Well, anyway, there's that. That's all good and fun. Let us get some news out of the way because it's our job to entertain and inform. Here's this. It's time for the news, brought to you by. Aww.
Introducing the Sage app, an all-in-one permaculture garden designer, calendar, and planner. Take the guesswork out of what to plant and when to plant it and design the ultimate sustainable garden. Sage uses AI to help you design and grow your food garden in a holistic and abundant way. It is a collaborative community effort to build more resilient systems in our gardens. Support our Kickstarter campaign now! Search for Sage app on Kickstarter today.
Nice. Because the chat's still going on about it. Did you have a favorite toy as a kid that isn't like Micronauts or action figures, like just a basic toy?
Yeah, I mean, the I mean, I was big into Legos as a kid because I could build just about everything, you know, that I needed for. Like, if my Star Wars figures needed to have a battle with the Micronauts, somehow they crossed the multiverses to battle each other, then Legos were a great way to build bunkers and ways to things for them to fight on or over or under. So, like, I mean, I hate to say Legos feels like, I want to say something like, what else? What else was really big? Oh, Wildfire, that little pinball, portable pinball game that just had about 14 places for the little LED ball light to show up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The flippers had had two animated locations.
It's like the Coleco football thing. It was all just a little LED that would pop and
little LEDs. But yeah. Man, I love that little thing. And Merlin, I loved. Yeah,
Merlin was cool. I liked Merlin. Yeah. What was the? No, Merlin's not what. Who used? Or what? What did ET have that talked about?
The speak and spell.
Speak and spell. I thought that was cool.
I never had a speak and spell.
I had one that's. It didn't work, obviously, because my spelling's atrocious these days.
Right.
I'm good at speaking. Not so much the spelling.
Great speaking, not so good at the spelling.
That's right. All right, let's get to this story. There's a pyramid in Utah.
Uh-huh. All right?
This is a local
Just
story.
Just a pyramid. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And it's keeping a Salt Lake City bakery from obtaining its liquor license. Now, I had a question all about right. Why does a bakery have a liquor license in the first place, but I guess that's not that uncommon, right?
If it's just a bakery, then I feel like it is uncommon.
Is it weird?
I don't think of like, yeah, I feel like bakeries close it at in the early afternoon, you know, after you've gotten either your donuts or your cinnamon rolls in the morning or gone there for lunch for a nice sandwich or something. I don't feel like, oh, what are you doing for dinner? Oh, going to the bakery, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. It's not like you have like a loaded eclair that's all, you know, loaded with alcohol or something. That would be right, exactly. Also weird.
Yeah, so I do have questions about that.
But, well, according to the owner of the West Side Salt Lake Bakery, he says that he's struggling to stay in business.
It's just about a pyramid in Salt Lake City, too.
Yeah, there's this whole pyramid thing. He believes getting a liquor license would help him stay in business, which I could understand. You know, if your clientele wants to drink, I get it. But the problem, go ahead.
Yeah. This is actually smart business then, because there's like a coffee place near us that after a certain time of day turns into a brew pub, a beer garden brew pub kind of thing. So if it's like, yeah, we're a bakery during the day, but then we turn into like a bar at night because nobody wants baked goods at night. Nobody wants beer in the morning. So we use the space for two different things. That makes sense.
Yeah. Like Container Park does at night. They turn themselves an adult playground. Whereas in the day you take your kids there.
Right.
I could see that. Here's the problem, though. According to the State Department's Department of Alcoholic Beverages and Services, or DABS.
DABS,
yeah, for the DAB. and Utah law, it's that his business is too close to a church. Pastry chef Andrew Corral. Sure. Sounds like something I'd order on his menu. who opened the 43 bakery in Poplar Grove last fall Poplar Grove said his business
it's
is
a very popular grove.
Yeah, he says his business is not financially in a great spot. It's been a slow winter for the bakery, which is located in a renovated warehouse that requires an extensive build out to open. He says he's still trying to pay off construction debts and just find finance the installation of a $25,000 drop down ceiling over his kitchen. He also got a new insurance thing in anticipation of starting to sell alcohol, which raised his yearly rate from $1,200 to about $12,000. That's unusual. That's usual. That's what happens when you do it. Anyway, they tried to do it. The problem is there's this church. Let's see if I can find the denomination. I don't know if it's even a. Let's see. Here it is.
Benevolent pyramid.
Church of the Summum. Summum. Never heard of it.
Summum.
Okay. I'd live here and I've never heard of this. It was established in 1975. It has been in this location for almost 50 years. The faith said in an emailed statement, our pyramid is our sanctuary and place of worship, and we expect the same protections as any other religion. Because this pyramid is there, and because they are a registered religious entity, you can't have a place that serves alcohol within certain distances of said religious entity. And because this coffee shop is close to this pyramid, government's like, sorry.
Oh, man.
You can't have it. It does stink. Here, Chad, look at this pyramid. Whoops. I can't get it to...
What is the AVIF image format? Freaking internet.
AVIF, jeez.
I understand. You know, WebP, I was just getting used to. What the hell is this bullshit?
Drink like an Egyptian.
All right, here it is. Look at this, chat. Look at this cool church. It's not that cool, but... And the warehouse you can see right behind it. I kind of want to go in there and see who they're sacrificing to who. Because look at that.
Yeah, no kidding. Hobbsduck says the original vision for 43 Bakery was to develop a dinner and evening dessert menu and pair that with wine and local beer. So, yeah, that was the... Oh, look at that. Huh.
Yeah.
That's certainly... That, it's almost like, is that a pyramid or is it just, you know, a roof?
It looks like a... Yeah, it looks like a buried house is what that is.
Do they actually do things... inside the pyramid part, or is it just the top part and they go down below that? It's really just a roof.
It's a great question. Let's see. So the department took a straight line measurement from the bakery to the pyramid using a laser pointer and then measured that. Straight line measurement using the laser pointer of the thing. It was 173 feet at both doors.
Okay.
But hold on. A straight line, like as the crow flies measurement, doesn't seem fair.
It doesn't, right? Because like if you have to walk further, if you were going to go, because it's not about birds drinking.
Yeah.
It's about people and how long it takes them to get from one to the other.
Yep. Bakery's 21 feet too close to the pyramid as the crow flies and 116 feet too close if pedestrians were to walk on the sidewalk from the bakery to the pyramid.
Oh, okay. So still pedestrian.
Still a problem.
Is an issue. Can I bring your attention to... The bakery website?
Yeah, let's do it.
43 Bakery. I just gave you the link, and it's 43bakery.com for you folks at home who want to look.
Got it.
Your first thing you want people is to see either your excellent baked goods, pastries, and how delicious they look, right?
Yeah.
So why is your hero image, the above-the-fold photo that shows up on your website, a blurry photo of your pastries, but a clear photo of... the prices,
how much everything costs. Yeah, that seems bad. This one down here with the lady arm is better, although she's got like a claw finger there. What the hell's that about?
Oh gosh, yeah, she does.
Look at that thing.
here's your croissant. What? Oh, sorry that I drew blood when I handed it to you.
Oh, they do the blurry thing later. This one thing is always blurry with the strawberries on it.
No kidding.
They got a half eaten. They got a bitten in donut that's nice and clear, but.
It's like a member of the Illuminati. You just can't focus on that thing. Oh, the pyramid, Illuminati. There's the connection.
Oh no! Now we know what's going on.
Yeah.
Seems like a. I mean, I would go. I'd go here. I'd try this.
Yeah, I'm sure they have a nice Queen Amon.
Now I'm worried about them, though.
Are you? Well, I think they'll be fine without the booze.
I hope so.
Let's see what their hours are. Like, are they? I mean, obviously, yeah. Oh, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So they're open dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, they can do dinner. They just can't do a nice paired alcohol.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
man,
you're hoping to get your drink on, you're screwed. Forget it.
That's right. Wow. Look at these. Their dessert bar, their raspberry vanilla bean Danish, spinach artichoke Danish.
Yeah, dude.
Blueberry Earl Grey Danish.
You'd eat all of this, wouldn't you? I would.
I would eat all. We'd eat all of it. Absolutely. Yeah. I have no problem with any of it.
Well, I hope it all works out for them. May they never close due to beer problems.
It's a bummer that they can't serve the beer, can't serve the wine, can't serve the beer.
Our next story is about a kid who basically lived a thing I really wanted to do when I was a kid, and that was to
he lived John Hughes movie. Although the dream I had would be that I would be stuck in there with Jennifer Connelly, but I digress.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that either. However, even today, she's still just awesome.
She's beautiful. Yeah.
It
was at least on Snowpiercer, which got canceled years ago. But
did it? Has it been years already? I need to finish that.
I think it's been a couple of years, yeah. That's I think we watched the most recent season of that during pandemic. Maybe not.
I liked what I saw. I saw the first season. I liked it.
Yeah.
I like the movie a lot.
David Diggs. I really like David Diggs.
Yeah, he's good. He's your, who did he play? Jefferson in the Hamilton?
Oh, in Hamilton, yeah.
I think he was Jefferson. Anyway, a child did a thing I always wanted to do. Got locked into a target, or got locked inside the target overnight, and got found in the morning, but got to stay in a target all night long. I don't know why, but as a kid, I always wanted to do this. Walmart, yeah. Kmart, Target, don't care. Lock me in there. Parents forget about you. Maybe it was a Home Alone fantasy or something.
Yeah, maybe.
But then it's just me and aisles of whatever I want all night long. No one's the wiser. That sounds like a blast.
They've got toys. They've got video games. You've got, what else do you need?
It's an older kid, though, 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel right for some reason. Child spent the night locked into a Target store in Columbus, Ohio. Police say the employee found the 12-year-old boy when opening the store early Monday morning. It's unknown how long the child was inside the store, although they do say overnight. So I guess it's sort of known how long he was there.
Police, they didn't say where he was hiding. Like, I'm sure he was hiding somewhere when they closed the store. And then, because then they do the cleaning, right? There's still people in there for an hour after, or a couple hours after the store closes, so they can clean the place.
Yeah. Probably hid. Like, that's the best part, is if you're a kid and you're just like, yeah, dude, I'm going to, I don't know, the housewares, I'll go hide under all these towels or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a blast. I mean, I realize this is just like a movie, 80s movie fantasy, but there's something about it I always wanted to do.
So, Snowpiercer, 3 seasons, and they have a fourth season that has been finished, and Warner decided not to air it, whatever it was. TNT, I think, had it, but IFC is going to air it, so we will see that fourth and final season of Snowpiercer.
Good. Some closure is what we'll get there.
Closure, hopefully, yeah.
Ironheart in the chat says they spent a night in a Blockbuster with permission when I was a kid. So what do you do?
Permission from your parents or permission from Blockbuster?
Yeah, I'd like to know who let you do it. But what did you do? Let's see. My friend was a supervisor and he had to be there while people carpeted the store.
Oh, re-carpeted gotcha. It.
Okay. But I mean, did you guys get to like sit and watch movies or did you like, what'd you do in a block? What else would you do in a Blockbuster?
What else would you do? Yeah.
Eat Red Vines. Maybe play video games because they rent video games.
Eat some Orville Redenbacher microwave popcorn.
Yeah. That sounds great. Ironheart. See, you did one of the things I want to do. I had one other childhood desire that I did get to do. When I was 12, kid same age, my dad owned a duplex downtown in the kind of sketchy part of town. Uh-huh. And it was, duplex, which is like two smaller homes crushed, mushed into one with a wall dividing it, for those who don't know. And we got to take big sledgehammers, my brother Matt and I, and demolish the place.
Oh, do some demo work. Yeah. Nice.
And there's no way that was like child legal to do. There's no way.
Did you wear eye protection or anything? I'm sure you had eye protection.
We didn't have any of that shit. No, we had no respirator stuff for any kind of like, who knows how old this thing was. Could have been like, asbestos or whatever. We didn't know any of that. He just says, here, take these two giant rubber mallets, knock down all the walls. And it was to prepare. Oh, and then pull out any stuff that was left because whoever was there before got kicked out real quick. So, Brian, you'd love this. Sure. There were like old Led Zeppelin black light posters.
Yeah.
That would only light up if they were black light. One was a big tiger face and it would light up all cool if you had a black light on it. So these
These were cloth posters, I'm hoping.
And there was like weed paraphernalia and all this stuff. That, as a 12-year-old, I didn't even know what half of it was. But I pocketed a couple of little trinkety things, like somebody left a ring that I thought was cool.
This cool metal pipe I took. And,
and then my brother and I got to just run around that place and just destroy stuff. And it was so cathartic. Like,
I'm sure it was. Would be great. That's why those places, those rage rooms, make so much money. It's like people want to have that experience of doing demo work or taking out their Office Space style anger on a fax machine.
Yeah. It was great. It was really great. I recommend it if you're a kid and your parents would let you do that for any reason. For us, it was my dad was just looking for cheap labor and it worked out, but.
Yeah. That's the best part is that it was a very Huckleberry Finn kind of thing. It's like, how do I convince these kids to do this thing that's actually a lot of work?
Yeah. And OSHA could make a whole book about it. Like we were violating every possible child safety rule you could have.
for sure.
But it was, you know, it's like, what, 82 or something?
Nobody, kids with sledgehammers. Yeah, right.
Nobody gave a shit back then.
Yeah.
Let's see. That's going to do it for our news today. We're going to take a break. Okay. When we come back, Steven Schleicher joining us after a bit of a hiatus. Been about a month.
Yeah.
Oh,
it'll be great to hear him from him again.
Yeah, be glad to have him on. We'll be doing that after the song you brought. What'd you bring?
Yeah, a little electronic stuff. These guys are going to be traveling. They're touring New York City, headlining show April 19th at Elsewhere. The band is called Bad Tuner. Bad Tuner. Not Bad Tuna. That's a whole different thing. That's what you get at Subway on a Monday afternoon.
Sure.
This is Brooklyn-based DJ and producer who, quote, like Daft Punk before him, takes a simple phrase and builds a world around its incantatory properties, says NPR Music. NPR, you know, we trust them because they have the Tiny Desk concerts and stuff.
Sure.
They make music that sounds like a shot of pure asphalt-scented adrenaline, says KCRW, another trusted source. See what you say about it and put in quotes and put it in a marketing email. This is Bad Tuner and the song Repeat to Fade.
Listen to my voice, cause it knows that there's only one way to get into the flow. It's not go, it's not glow. You just need to take your fear and put it into the backseat.
She's my hoe, and I better have my hoe in my car, ready to go back to my hood in 1 hour, or you're gonna be my hoe. You dig?
You have a computer.
And we're back. Who was that again?
Yeah, that's a band called Bad Tuner, really a DJ called Bad Tuner, and a song called Repeat to Fade featuring Polena on vocals. She's got a great voice. This is from their brand new EP, Look at Me, But Through Me.
Wow. Yeah, don't look at me. Look through me.
Look at me, but through me. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know very many translucent people, but I'll take your advice.
You know, as long as you know one, you're able to do that. So that's right. Good.
Yeah. I wish. Yeah. I don't know many, but the few I do know.
The few you do. Perfect. Yes.
They're all from Helsinki. All right. Exactly. Moving on to this, because it's been a while.
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Steven Schleicher, where have you been all our month lives?
Oh, we missed you.
Yeah.
It's been a month.
It's been a while, hasn't it? Yeah. Did it go all right? I know you had a lot of teaching stuff to do, college business.
Yeah, we had we were supposed to have 160 high schoolers here to, you know, talk to them about different things. I was talking about podcasting and how to shoot video better and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
We only had about half of them show up because we ended up with that winter storm blew in.
Oh, right, right.
So, yeah, that's why I wasn't here last week. And the week before, I think, was a blood test. I got an A+. So.
Yay! Woo! Nicely done. So hold on a second. When you are in front of all these kids, Hobbs Dog says your audio is really low. Yeah, it is. You are a little low. I don't know why. I have you Mac, so I can't.
There we go.
I had to max them too. Yep.
Much. I can turn it up even louder.
No, that's perfect. Right there is good.
Clippy Clipperson.
Yeah, Clippy McClipperson. You're fine. Anyway, you're probably a very authoritative vision up there at the podium, right? You're like an intimidating guy.
Your children will sit down and you will listen to me as I tell you about the podcasting.
Wow. That's nice. Perfect. Nice. Perfect thing to do when you're in front of a bunch of students at a school.
It goes very well, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back. And I know, you know, this is a place for you to express your nerdadity. You have a lot of nerd stuff happening in general over at Major Spoilers. But let's dig into what we've got today. For example... Ultimate Comics is back at Marvel Comics. Tell me more what that means.
I think we've talked about this before, but back in the late or early 2000s, Marvel decided, hey, let's retell all of our old stories, but tell it on a different universe with younger characters and telling it in a way that's allows new readers to jump on board. And that was super popular until they destroyed the universe. At the end of 2023, they kicked off this thing called Ultimate Invasion, where a different Ultimate Universe, but kind of the same Ultimate Universe, was rediscovered. And in this universe, through time travel shenanigans, they prevented all of the superheroes from being created. And so now that we are into our main stories, we've got Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Black Panther. The Ultimates is coming in May, I want to say. And they're just telling these stories of how are we getting these characters back together. The Ultimate Spider-Man is ready for issue 3 this week, I believe. And it is super popular. It's gone through multiple reprintings as people are discovering. Here's Peter Parker happily married to Mary Jane, two kids. And then somebody is coming up to him and saying, hey, you were supposed to be a superhero. You want to get bit by this spider and become the superhero? And so it's an adult Peter Parker going through things of, I had a happy life and what's going to happen now. And people are really digging it. So if you were into the Ultimate Universe and you want to experience it again differently for the first time, then you might want to check out the new Ultimate Universe that Marvel's doing.
So that was really popular, right? Ultimate Spider-Man was a big whoop.
It is super popular.
That's what introduced Miles Morales, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I followed both of the, I did the Ultimate X-Men and Ultimate Spider-Man and collected both of those series almost from the get-go.
Yeah, there is an Ultimate X-Men coming out. And if you guys don't know who Peach Momoko is, she is a Japanese artist and she does so much stuff with Japanese folklore and stuff. She is doing Ultimate X-Men.
Really?
And doing it all in her fantastic art and illustrations.
I love her style.
Armor is the main character of that, and it will be filled with folklore and magic as well. So you've got that looking forward to.
I know her art because of Marvel Snap. There are lots of Peach Momoko. They're all gorgeous. They're like so cool.
Her art is fantastic. So people definitely want to check that out.
She did that King.
It's very watercolory.
Oh yeah, her style is very. I don't know. I don't even know who to compare it to.
I mean it's very. It's like Japanese oriented. If you are familiar with that kind of style that you might see, not manga.
It's not like anime. No,
it's traditional almost like painted Japanese art.
Yeah, if Julie Bell watched a lot of Ghost in the Shell, this is what you'd end up with.
Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it. She did this King in Black alt cover back when that was hitting the stands. Absolutely loved that whole run. Oh my gosh, it was so good. Well, there you go. Brian Michael Bendis back working on it or no? Because
he is not. He is over at Dark Horse right now. He took all of his stuff, took all of his toys, packed them up, and moved over to Dark Horse. And so he's got all of his stuff. If you were into the Jinx World stuff, he's got all of that being reprinted at Dark Horse. And I think Powers is coming back over there, and he's got a bunch of other projects, but he is not involved with the new Ultimate Universe.
All right. I like that guy. His work is great.
Yeah.
All right, cool. There's that. Also, what else we got? Oh, it's been 40 years since Spider-Man's black costume appeared. That's crazy to hear that.
I know, right? I mean, we're thinking 1984. It's like, 1984 wasn't that long ago. It was 40 years ago.
40 years. Yeah, I have that Secret Wars issue 9 with that first appearance of it.
That's not the first appearance of it. Because
wasn't
of the
well,
way right. things were
that's
released.
That's true, yes.
Issue 252 of The Amazing Spider-Man was the, you know, Spider-Man's right. running around in a black suit. And people are like, why is he running around in a black suit? Oh, have you read Secret Wars? No, not yet. And it wasn't until like
that's right.
two or three issues into the Spider-Man run that they got to the point where Spider-Man discovers in the Secret Wars his black costume. So you kind of got a backstory on how he got his black costume. Turns out, ladies and gentlemen, spoiler alert, it was Venom all along.
It was always Venom. Yeah, weird. So hold on. So that was still McFarlane's run then when that showed up, right? Do I have that right?
It was before
McFarlane. No, that was McFarlane. So I'm trying to look real quick. Tom DeFalco and Ron Frenz.
Oh, interesting.
Are the ones who got to design that.
Yeah. So when McFarlane is credited with at least co-creating Venom.
Right. But, so Spider-Man ran around in his black suit for like 4 years before somebody said, hey, what if this was an alien symbiote? And then that's when they spun that off and made it its own thing. And that's where we get Venom showing up.
Okay. That's interesting. That makes more sense, actually. Of course, it's kind of an iterative thing, if I get that word
still,
out.
Brian.
Yeah.
But still, having that that Secret Wars issue and still having it is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still in an acid-free bag somewhere over there in one of my lung boxes, and I might even have the Spider-Man issue as well, because I was collecting that at the time, too.
Do you have them in good condition?
Oh, yeah, mint, for sure.
Oh, you should go get those graded. Send them to CGC and get them slabbed, and then that way basement leak, then you wouldn't have to worry about comics getting that way.
Oh, no kidding. That scares the crap out of me. Yeah, because I've got the Wolverine limited series signed by Chris Claremont. That's the thing. This was before you got the certificate of authentication. So they should be able to certify that it really is Chris Claremont's signature.
It might be, depending on where you do it, but I think CGC is kind of the comic grader, comic grading company. They're kind of the de facto ones. They do, next time the Denver Comic Con comes to Denver, they usually have somebody there that will register your comics. And I don't think they slab them at the show, but you can drop them off and that'll save you all the shipping.
Yeah.
Save me a ton on shipping and insurance and that sort of thing. Yeah. I'm totally going to do that this time around.
Nice. Sure. Very cool. Secret War still, I was talking to Metzen about this. Still, it's his favorite comic series of all time. That thing's still influential, man. That thing hits all the
They wanted it to be a toy line. They saw what DC Superpowers did and they wanted it. They've done Secret Wars 2 and I want to say 3. They did another Secret Wars recently.
Yeah.
And of course, we had the not related to anything going on in the comic book Secret Wars. We had the television show on Disney.
Yeah. And 2 was garbage, right? If I remember right.
2 was garbage because the Beyonder all of a sudden was in a white disco suit with a Jerry Curl perm haircut.
Yeah.
And so don't read Secret Wars 2, but Secret War, which is the newer one, which is the whole battle world thing, was really good.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And that was like last couple of years or
huge
something.
Huge crossover. Yeah, but it was really well the ones I read maybe 3 different series and then the battle world or the Secret War series itself was all really good.
Sure. Hey, speaking of which, sorry, this is not exactly connected, but a little tangent. They're working on a Marvel Zombies, its own animated series, not part of the multiverse what if stuff.
Oh,
but
really?
On its own. Do you know anything about it, Steven?
I don't know anything about that. I know that people are still really hot on Marvel Zombies. There is if anybody loves to play the board game Zombicide, there is a Marvel Zombies themed version of it where you are the zombies and you are trying to take down the humans and the shield agents and everything. So there is that.
Here it is. Marvel Zombies upcoming American animated television series created by Zeb Wells for the streaming service Disney Plus. Yeah,
nice. Zeb Wells is a good writer.
I don't think we have okay. So they mentioned the What If thing in 2021, but that this was its own thing. It'll be in a similar style, though. Let's see. Do not expect it to debut until at least 2023 was the last word we heard.
Then it's on the shelf for a while.
Sounds like maybe one of those things that's getting
especially evaluated. With what's going on at Disney right now.
Yeah,
that there may be a lot of things that are announced, and then next week there may be a lot of things canceled.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm okay. You know what? I initially I was like, oh my god, that means there's going to be such a drought of new Marvel stuff. But after seeing the quality of X-Men 97, I'm kind of okay for Disney Plus to like ease up on the Marvel stuff or pare it down.
So it's not so the biggest problem, and this is me being editorializing, this is my personal views, and you guys can feel however you want.
Sure.
So when Marvel went through their huge issue in the 90s, they were purchased by Ike Perlmutter, and I don't have anything against him personally, but I know that he is super penny pinching. And, really wants to take the low route for so many things that Marvel was doing. And so when they started to have success, he was the one that was blocking a lot of the things that were going on with Marvel Television, to the point, because he was in charge of that and Kevin Feige was in charge of Marvel Studios, to the point where Disney had to step in and say, okay, Ike, you are no longer, we're folding the television side into the studio side. And that means you don't have a board seat. And so they ousted him, and suddenly we get this big rush of announced projects and more movies and all of these things going on. And Ike is pretty bitter about that. So a lot of this is what's going on with the board right now. There's a big board fight going on. A lot of it has to do with getting Ike and this other guy back on the board seats. And that could mean a very different direction for a lot of things that Disney does. Now, certainly there are people who make their life and their living off of complaining about woke politics and everything. Those people should be happy for this. But on the other hand, this could be kind of a big mess for Disney to deal with for the next however long these people are around, alive, et cetera.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Just typical. So typical bubble, man. Also, it's just another bubble. Yeah. You know,
so also just to be transparent, I do own some stock in Disney, not a lot. And so I do get to vote, and I did not vote for Ike and this other guy to be put back on the board.
You like the lady in the Futurama episode that says, I own one Kerjigger of Planet Express. Are you like that person where you just got a little bit?
I am that person. I have like one or two shares of Disney stock, and they're like, well, you own shares, so you get a vote. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I get a vote. I love that episode.
Nice.
All right. Well, there's that. Also, if you want more X-Men 97, there's also a comic book happening. Is that out now?
A comic book that debuted last week, and it's pretty good. One of our reviewers gave it a B, an 80%, and said that it's fairly interesting. If you are wondering what happened between the original X-Men series and the new X-Men 97 reboot, that is what this miniseries is doing, is telling some of the tales in between there, so you don't have to worry about this retelling what's on the Disney Plus or anything like that. So if people are into it, sounds like Brian is not, then you can go check this out. X-Men 97 number one came out last week.
I mean, the art looks nice. Good. It's
great. It totally is the art, the TV show art.
Yeah. I mean, there are costumes and stuff. I would say that, I mean, it looks like, well, that's just the cover, so I guess I can't say, but it looks, it looks all right. What's the story like?
I don't know. I didn't read it.
Yeah.
I felt like things went pretty well. No, I guess there was some time, right? Because it was enough time for Jean Grey to get pregnant and them to start dealing with the loss of Xavier and all that stuff. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. I've been loving the new series, the cartoon series.
Oh, yeah. The show is awesome, dude. Freaking.
Oh, okay. Good.
That. And I loved it back then. I like it even more now.
Oh, was I not clear about that earlier?
Oh, yeah. With the comment that you made earlier, I was just like, oh, it sounds like Brian's maybe not a fan.
Oh, no. I was saying with the quality of if Disney is paring down on Marvel and we get something of the high quality that we get with X-Men 97, okay to have the drought, I guess.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Take time. It's okay to take time and make better stuff. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do more of that. Yeah. So Scott,
I sent you a tweet last night, and I think after the show, because I know Brian has to run to his movie, I want you to go track down the trailer for this movie called Space Hunter. What is it called? Space Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
Sure.
Watch the trailer because this is a 1980s version of Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh yeah. No, we saw this for Film Sack. Oh, I saw this in theaters in 3D with Molly Ringwald. Yeah.
Movie. Yeah, we did do this.
Okay.
I didn't see your tweet, but I'm now seeing it. And yes, this is a thing we have indulged in, and it is terrible.
Glorious.
I was watching a bunch of old 80s stuff on YouTube, and this trailer came up, and I was like, holy crap, that's the plot to Mad Max Fury Road.
Kinda,
including three attractive women who are being held captive by a guy with a weird thing on his crotch.
Yep.
Overdog. Michael Ironsides.
That's great. I remember thinking of all the bad stuff that we intentionally knew was going to be bad as we watched it. I remember kind of getting a kick out of that movie. It was all right.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That was years ago.
Brian, I've got a question for you. Have you had a chance to listen to Cowboy Carter yet?
I have. Well, I've listened to the covers. I've listened to Blackbird. Okay. I've listened to Jolene. Mm-hmm. I have not listened to the rest of it. I don't know why there's this preponderance of capital I's all over the place on this this record. There's
I'm not sure either, but I had a chance to listen to it yesterday, the full album, and I really enjoyed it. I'm not a country fan, so.
No, me neither. And I'm typically, I like Beyonce just fine, but I don't rush out and listen to Beyonce albums. And this, so far, what I've heard, that Blackbird cover is beautiful.
Yeah, the Blackbird is really good. And Dolly Parton pops in a couple of times in the piece. Willie Nelson pops in on the album a couple of times.
Talking about Blackbird, written by not the Beatles, but by Beatles. McCartney.
Written by McCartney, performed by the Beatles.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was after Beatles.
It was a Beatles song.
So why is that considered country on this, or is it just a country rendition of it?
So it's really interesting because there are some songs that are clearly country, and then there are some stuff that dives into R&B and some Zydeco music and some other stuff, which is really interesting too. But a majority of it, I would say, is country.
Right. Yeah, and I'd say, and Blackbird falls more into the, it's just a harmony ballad more than a country song or even an R&B song.
Yeah, I like that song.
There are some horny lyrics in this album too. So people are listening with young kids. There's
some
one
horny
that
lyrics.
Yes, there's one. It's called Honey Something Something. It's definitely a sexy song.
I wonder if Beyonce, current Beyonce fans know where a lot of these like kind of now getting to be ancient songs came from. You know, if they're just hearing them for the first time. I don't know. We'd have to hear from those fans, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's why Dolly Parton does a lead into Jolene as well.
That makes sense. She end it the way Brian hates on her cover album where she goes,
Jolene. And that's my song about Jolene.
I love that so much.
Oh, there's so much extra garbage in that Dolly Parton cover album, the Rockstar cover album. It just bummed me out so much. I wanted to love it, and I didn't end up loving it.
Yeah, you got to take that bit out, and then it's better. All right. Well, Stephen, as always, hanging with you is a treat, and people should know where your stuff is, so please tell them more about MajorSpoilers.com.
Yeah, it's all over at MajorSpoilers.com, where we know that you love comics, and we do too, and that's why we talk about comics, and we do podcasts about comics and other things as well. Last week on Top 5, we did a series on our top 5 favorite movies from the 1950s. So if people are trying to figure out, what movies came out in the 1950s, we got a lot of them. There's also a lot of them we missed. And I was looking at that decade, and I was wondering if that may be one of the bigger decades for like epic movies that was in the 1950s. So we did that last week, and people can go find that over at MajorSpoilers.com. Starting to warm up, starting to get a little bit more active. People are going to be more active outside. The sun's coming out. And so I also want to remind people to stay hydrated.
I'm going
to
work on that. I've got a little bottle of water right here. I'm going to drink out of it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Nice. Do that.
See you later. Excellent news. Quick call before we leave today. We got this one about talking animals and stuff.
Hello. Calling for TMS. Scott and Brian. Was just in the car listening to TMS Lumber. I don't know what number. Anyway, you were discussing talking animals, and it brought to mind, someone mentioned talking dolphins, which brought to mind a weird pseudo sci-fi movie I remember from the 70s with George C. Scott and talking dolphins. Check it out. I think it's called Day of the Dolphin. That is all. Love the show, though. Bye.
Day of the Dolphin. Let's take a look.
Never heard of it, but I'm in. I'm totally in.
It sounds ridiculous. Here it is, 73. Let's see. Marine biologist teaches his dolphins to communicate in English, but shady characters plan to kidnap the trained mammals for a more sinister purpose. It's got a 6 out of 10. That's not bad.
That's actually not bad. That puts it into solid film sack territory. Paul Sorvino in this as well.
Yeah. Elizabeth Wilson. Don't know who that is. Edward Herman's in it. That's cool.
Edward Herman.
Calling Edward Herman.
Oh, yeah. I know that guy.
Yeah. You've seen him. He was in, Gilmore Girls, what my wife would know him from. But he was a vampire in, do I have the right guy?
Isn't he? Yeah, I was going to say, isn't he the guy that is the king of the vampires in Lost Boys?
That's right. Lost Boys vampire. That is correct.
Is that him, though? Maybe that's not him.
I think that's him. Yeah, I'm looking it up. There it is. Lost Boys. Okay. Played Max.
All right, good. Yeah, for sure.
And then he died. All right, that is it for that. Hey, quick note, tonight, the Monday show will be on. Carter will be here. We have a bunch to talk about. Please check that out. We'll be here live, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Bring yourselves and your phones because we take live texts on the show. And would be happy to do that tonight. That, again, is at 6 p.m. If you want the podcast, it's over at frogpants.com/Monday. And, of course, this show, you can find it at frogpants.com/TMS. All the links are there. I noticed a few more Vegas tickets went away this weekend. A bunch of people bought them. So cool. We're getting down to the dregs of that particular teacup. Yay. If you want to get in, you got to get in now because they're running out. And I think today most of what goes inside your bags and boxes are going to arrive, which means my wife might get her kitchen back. So we'll see what happens. That is it for now. Brian, do you have a song or something you'd like to play on the way out?
I have a song. Patrick wrote in, Opus 1 in Facebook group and in the Tadpool. Dear Saltburn and Bathwater. Oh, God.
Wow.
I wasn't sure I wanted to put in a request. March 12th, yes, I'm catching up with last month, folks. March 12th is my 56th birthday, and up until last week, things were going great until I was let go from my job. But now I have more time to devote to TMS. Well, silver lining. Sure. I'm a longtime listener. I found ELR by accident and liked what I heard. A week later, Scott announced the end of ELR, but I didn't fret. I followed. Followed the instance, TMS, and FilmSec, and I'm always yelling out names and titles of movies when you guys are trying to remember. One suggestion, if I may, you need to sack Saturn III, a 1980 space movie with Kirk Douglas, Harvey Keitel, and Farrah Fawcett. And her boobs, he says. Classic film sack material. I'm all in favor of Saturn III. Would love to see that for film sack.
Sure.
Anyway, since you were talking about the Steve Miller Band, how about playing The Joker by Puddle of Mud? Keep us all yelling out at you guys, and don't forget to test the ship's phasers. Signed, Patrick.
Oh, well, I should probably play that for him just so he has it.
Just so he has it.
Phasers. Here we go.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
Yeah. Classic.
Always a favorite. All right. Yes, The Joker, performed by Puddle of Mud. This comes from a cover album that they put out in 2011 called Rediscovered, which was actually really good. I liked it. I liked a lot of it, including this cover. Here's The Joker by Puddle of Mud.
Some people call me a space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak with the pompousness of love. Yeah. And people talk about me, baby. That's right. They say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my loving on the run. We'll be right back.
dream. Lovey dovey, lovey dovey, lovey dovey all the time. Ooh, baby, I should show you a good time. Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I should have wanted to hurt no
frogpants.com.
Came to apologize and make out with tongues.